Welcome to this episode of Stacks and Stories, the podcast of the Mississippi Library Commission. Join Tracy and Shelley on this episode of Shelf Absorbed as they discuss what they've been reading and watching lately.
Hello, and welcome to an episode of Stacks and Stories and an episode of Shelf Absorbed. I am Shelley, and I am here with Tracy. And today, we are going to talk about what we've been reading.
Yeah, we were like, what kind of theme can we come up with? And then we couldn't think of one. Occasionally, you just get to hear what we've been reading.
You know, these are my favorite episodes, actually.
They're just kind of something for everyone.
It's like, there's no pressure just, you know, to like stick to a theme, and we can just talk about, you know, what we've been reading and kind of like, I don't know, I think it's just fun to me just to find out what's been going on.
You know, this morning before I had decided on which books I was going to talk about, I was like, maybe we can do an episode about reading slumps. And then I looked and I was like, oh, I've read some books and I liked a lot of them.
I'm so happy to hear that because I have been in a reading slump.
Yes,
for
same.
Like really for a few months now.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that because I always kind of feel, and I don't know why I should not feel bad, but I always feel bad about myself when I'm in a slump. And we should not, as readers, feel bad about it. But you know, I don't know why we do.
I am either in book mode or I'm in TV mode.
Yeah.
And I'm just in TV mode right now.
Yeah.
I started watching ER. I've never seen ER.
The ER. Like George Clooney ER?
Yep. Juliana Margulies. She looks like she's like
it is a good show.
8 years old. Everyone is so young and beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
And I'm just watching ER. That's what I'm doing with my life right now.
I am in a Little House on the Prairie mode.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really going back to the 70s. And in fact, just yesterday, I was at work, I'd really rather just be watching Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm in that mode.
I was such a super fan, but I find it so stressful that I can't watch
episodes
now.
I'm only watching the happy episodes.
Yeah.
Let me just preface that. I am actually skipping around. And I mean, I've seen them all. I can't watch these stressful episodes. I mean, and there's so many.
I mean, did I remember incorrectly that Albert is a heroin addict at some point?
Yes, at one point he breaks into Doc Baker's office and he gets strung out. I can't remember what the drug was, but yes. And then also early on at one point he starts smoking and he kills Mary's baby. And Yes, he kills her first child.
How does he do this?
Well, he's smoking in the basement of the blind school. And, or the school for the blind, anyway.
Right.
And he kills her baby. Her baby somehow gets stuck in the house. And he kills...
Oh, so it catches on fire?
Catches on fire.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
I was like, don't
you know what I'm saying? And also one of their neighbors is in the house. And the neighbor dies, who is Mrs. Ingalls' best friend. I mean, it is trauma. So for those reasons... Only watching happy episodes.
Yeah, is there such a thing?
Yeah, there are. So right now I'm watching where Laura is first meeting Manly Almanzo.
Yes.
And so there's several like really happy ones in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones that I am watching.
Yeah.
But recently I've been on Instagram paying attention to the like 50th anniversary, like several of them got together and like all these fans have been coming and seeing them, but Willie has shown up.
You know, I saw a picture of
Did
Willie
you
that,
see
that
what
you
he
shared
looked like?
Yeah,
I shared that Willie. On purpose.
Yeah, he became a handsome man.
He sure did.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
You know what? I loved Manly. I thought he was the cutest man.
He was.
But do you know who I thought was even cuter? Adam.
Oh, Adam.
Mary's husband.
Yes.
And doesn't he like, he's on a wagon and then he falls off the wagon and
his sight comes back. Mary gets upset because she's like, oh no, Adam's going to leave me because his sight comes back. But then he loses his sight again.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So.
Yes,
anyway.
It's a journey.
It's that show is trauma.
It is
trauma, but you can skip around.
Yeah,
it's on Freevee.
Okay,
so you can watch all 9 seasons and skip around. Just
do
watch
you
Happy
agree
Ones.
That Carrie is the worst character?
Oh, I hate Carrie. I always hated her.
You know
what? She does not have very many lines.
That's good because she
and
deli-
that is
that,
by
the
design.
Little girls, the twins that played Carrie, they weren't very good.
No, she's terrible. Okay. So
well, we'll get that out of the way.
What have you been reading?
Well, I felt like I hadn't read anything, but then it turns out I did. The first book I want to talk about is The Impossible Life of Greta Wells by Andrew Sean Greer.
I have wanted to read that for so long because I really like him.
Yes.
And I've started it, but I've never really read it.
So here is the setup. It's a little bit time travel-y, but the time travel is in a very logical way. So this woman named Greta lives in this old house in New York, and I can't remember what it's called. It's like Perkins Place or something like that, but that's not it. So,
okay,
it's something like that.
That's fine.
With her aunt and her, but her it's 1985 that we're talking about, and her twin brother Felix has just died, and it's never spoken, but it was HIV AIDS.
Okay.
So mid-80s. Like
yeah, it
all
wouldn't,
of,
yeah, that yeah, was like
yes,
high
right.
HIV time.
And she is in like the depths of a depression, just like unlike anything she's experienced. And so as a last resort, her doctor recommends electric shock therapy. It's not called shock. Shock is no longer in the name of it, but I can't remember.
Called, like ECT
yes.
or something like that?
So she does ECT and... When she wakes up the next day, she's in her house because it's her house, you know. But she's in 1941.
Oh, okay.
And her name is Greta. She's the same person.
Okay, so it's okay.
Her brother is there. Her aunt is there. Like she still has all the people that are important to her, but they're in slightly different configurations.
Okay.
Oh, also, right as her brother dies in 1985, she and her long-term partner break up. Oh. So in 1941, he's a part of her life as well.
Okay.
So
are they still in that house, Perkins,
right.
whatever?
Yes. They're and that's kind of the base of where they are.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
So the next time she has her therapy, she has it on Thursdays and Fridays. The next time she has it, she wakes up and it's 1918. Another configuration of the same people. And so she cycles through.
This is sounding like life after life.
There's only three, though.
Okay.
But the 1985 Greta is cognizant of what's happening. She's like, oh, my gosh. Wait. After the shock of, like, what am I doing? She's like, okay, I'm here. And then she has a schedule. She knows that she's like, okay, I have this many more times.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be hanging out with her brother who has died in 1985,
yeah.
she gets him back
yeah.
in these other two
yeah.
time periods.
It's kinda cool.
Yeah. And she's married to her longtime partner in one of them. And anyway, all the details. Anyway, it was really good. It was, I liked that, the time travel wasn't like, wow, I went behind a magic rock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because in the big picture, like, what if Greta made it all up? It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Her mind allowed her to continue the relationships with the people that she loves.
Is there, like, something that she resolves by doing this?
Yes. And at some point, she realizes that while she is in 1918 Greta is in 1985. Stirring some stuff up.
Oh, now that is interesting.
So then you wake up and then you have to figure out like
now I
what
really,
has she been up to?
I really want to read it.
Yeah,
now.
No, it was really good. I gave it 5 stars.
You do not hand out 5 stars.
It looks like I hand out a lot because I usually stop reading things that I don't like. So most everything is a 4 and a 5. Okay, I've been reading some things that aren't my usual favorites. Like I read a thriller and I read
that's
like
right, you did.
A
I was
romance
really
with like a cartoon cover.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, that's not usually my thing.
That is not your thing.
And, you know, those were okay.
Yeah.
But anyway,
right.
that's
I am really surprised that you would read this book.
to be honest. I am.
Really? A time travel book?
Yeah. But, well, I guess, yeah.
I liked Less.
You did like Less, but I don't know. I guess I don't know why I'm surprised. I just am.
Okay.
Well, I read a book where I watched the film first and then read the book, mm-hmm. which I don't like to do. But here's why it happened. So I saw the movie on Amazon, and I did not plan to read the book. I had never heard of the book. So the movie's called Foe. And it was,
is this F-O-E-F-A-U-X?
F-O-E.
Okay.
And, I went into it not knowing anything about it and then was blown away by it. And then I found out it was a book, and because of the movie, I was like, I'm just going to have to read the book. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to see what the book is like. And then the book is written by an author I've read before. His name's Ian Reid, R-E-I-D. Mm-hmm. He has written I'm Thinking of Ending Things, you might have heard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that has also been made into a film. Mm-hmm. So here's the setup on this wackadoo book. It is a subtle sci-fi book. Okay, I know you don't like sci-fi books, but, and I don't either, but subtle sci-fi thriller. So it starts out, we have this woman named Henrietta, but she goes by Hen, mm-hmm. like a hen, mm-hmm. And Junior. And they live in this kind of old farmhouse on a farm. And it's at night, and someone comes knocking at their door in the middle of the night. And they are both really, like, afraid to answer the door. So Henrietta answers the door, and the man acts like he knows Henrietta, and he's like, Hen, open the door. And it's this man called Terrence. And Terrence, well, they invite him in after a little banter, and he starts talking to them and says that he is part of this government project that they are, and you realize at this point that it is set in the future a bit, and that they are starting a resettlement project on Mars, and that Junior has been chosen to be part of that project. At first, they think it's both of them, but then they realize that it's just Junior. And then, so he's going to have to go through some tests and some training prior to going to Mars. And that it's a great honor for him to be chosen. Junior is a little off and up. You can tell he's upset and he's very attached to Hen. So then Terrence tells them that while Junior is gone on Mars, that Henrietta won't be by herself, that there will be an artificial intelligence of Junior with her.
Okay.
So she will not be lonely. So, and because Junior could be gone for years.
Got it.
Okay. So then Terrence.
Don't worry.
I know.
I have this FACO guy who's going to live with you.
Yes. So the book is very, it's my favorite kind of book, where it's very atmospheric and everything is just very strange. Mm. And you know everything's off. Like, everyone's acting very strange and just not normal. And I just love that, where you're just like, what is going on? These people, no one's acting right. No one's acting like they should act. Mm-hmm. Like that, like, this is not how I would act. So Terrence leaves, and he's going to come back later. He doesn't come back for like a year. And
did the AI guy come in the meantime?
I can't say. So it's just Henrietta and Junior for, like, I think a year, maybe it's 2 years.
The real Junior.
Just listen. Just listen.
She just raised her eyebrows.
Just listen. And so they're just acting weird, but going about their day. Nothing is explained in this book. But I will tell you this. This author is clever. The narrator of the book.
That was like an extended dead air silence.
The narrator of the book is Junior. And no, that's not the interesting thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The narrator of the book is Junior. And in the book, he is the only person that has no quotation marks when he speaks.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, do you get what I'm getting across? Okay, when the others speak, Terrence and Henrietta, there's quotation marks around their words. When Junior speaks, he has no quotation marks. I'm just saying that.
So it's the fake Junior all along, maybe? Maybe that's a possibility?
Maybe so. Hmm. It is an interesting book. It's only 260 pages.
Is it also called Faux?
It is called Faux. And I loved it. Loved it. I had to go. So after I watched the movie, I read the book. And then I watched the movie again.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I had to see what they did differently in the movie. Because they did do some things differently. Mm-hmm. And the ending of the book and the ending of the movie just trashed my emotions. That's what I'm going to say.
I wouldn't have thought that with what you have, you have described it. It didn't sound like trashing your emotions would be possible.
It trashed my emotions. Hmm. Sobbing. I sobbed.
Did you sob the second time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, huh. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I have to say about it.
Well, that's...
Highly recommend.
What streaming thing was it on?
Amazon.
Okay.
Faux. F-O-E.
See, when you say that, at first I thought it was P-H-O.
No.
And then I thought F-O-U-X. And so, I
can't believe that it has been so, it has flown under the radar so much. But anyway.
You know what? I might watch it.
I think you should.
Okay.
What else do you have?
So I read this book that I saw some people on Instagram talking about, and
that Instagram will get you.
It really will. And I'm not saying that. I'm going to say the word once, Bookstagram. I'm not ever going to say that again. I hate that.
I really hate that word. I really do.
I like the movement, but I don't want to talk about.
I like
that
the movement,
word.
But I do not like the word.
Well, so I saw it on Instagram, and it's one of those New York review books that that. Reprinted and somehow a classic, and it's called Stoner by John Williams, and the cover just has this man on it. I don't know, it the name of
I'm
the
writing
book,
it down before you even talk about it because I'm curious.
Okay. The title is not compelling, the cover also not compelling.
Okay.
But I picked it up and I started reading it and I absolutely loved it. So it is the story of this man named William Stoner, who is born on a farm in Missouri. And he has these really, when I say simple, I don't mean they were simpletons. I just mean straightforward, hardworking.
Yeah, pure.
Pure, uneducated parents. And they save and save, and they're going to send him to the university to study agriculture so that he can take over the farm. And so he does, and he has to stay with a cousin, and it's 2 miles away, and he has this crusty little room he stays in, and he's real
that
tall.
That sounds great.
And, he's all crunched up, on his studying things.
Living the life.
Yeah. So he takes an English class, and... He doesn't get it. He's just why? Yeah. And halfway through the semester, something happens and it clicks, and literature becomes his world. And he doesn't tell his parents, but he switches to being an English major. And he barely ever goes home. So when he does, when he graduates, and he's like, P.S., I am going to get a master's degree and also a PhD and become a professor. They're just really confused. But again, they don't cause too much of a fuss. Anyway.
But I thought they wanted him to come back.
They did.
And take care of the...
They did. But he goes home for the summer sometimes and helps them. But it's kind of a book where nothing happens. I mean, it's a story of a guy's life, which, you know, that's kind of
like a story of a life.
You know, it's
your jam.
He meets this woman and he marries her, and she turns out to be, you know what, when I say a villain,
is she horrible?
She's pretty horrible, but he's just completely resigned to it. So her horribleness is just like revealed in these little bits. Like there's something wrong with Edith. Like you can tell there's just something wrong with her, you know, like she's not, as someone might say, she ain't right.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
there's just something yeah. wrong. And at one point her father dies and she goes back to St. Louis where she's from, you know, for the whatever. And she goes into her room and makes two piles of things. And everything her father ever gave her, she destroys. She pulverizes the china face of all of her dolls.
Yes.
She's like...
She got some issues.
Crushing them. Yeah. Anyway, they have a child, and Edith continues not to be right and is basically an absent mother. Whatever.
Yeah.
But when she comes back, like literally years later, William and his daughter are very close, she is like, no, this is war. And she basically intends and is successful in alienating. So I don't know. Edith is just not right. Hmm.
I'm liking this book more and more.
Yeah. So he has this like moment with Edith when they're, you know, dating or whatever, and you know, you have hope for him, and then it's that hope sinks to the bottom of the lake. Then they have a child. Sinks to the bottom of the lake.
I feel terrible for him though.
And then you're like, well, maybe his professional life will be no. He is a professor and he loves teaching and he loves his students, but there is an episode where this graduate student is an idiot, and another colleague makes a big fuss out of what he sees as discrimination. Anyway, and then that guy becomes the head of the English department and punishes Stoner forever, basically. Like, he's a full professor and he's teaching freshman comp. Anyway, he does find a way around that in a really clever way. So I was glad that, because I was like, how much more am I going to be able to take of nothing ever going right for this guy? But he has some moments. He has things that happen. He finds love at some point. He finds some success. Anyway, this does not sound like a great book.
Well,
but
it sounds like a downer now.
It's kind of a downer, but it was really good. And it's described sometimes as like the best book you've never heard of, or the best, you know, it's one of those.
Okay.
But right after I was done, I was like, oh, I want to read another book by this guy. And then I started it and I was like, I can't take it. I can't take it.
So like emotionally you could not take it.
Well, and the thing is, it's not... It's told, like, the style is not emotional.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like, you're at a remove, like, watching this poor guy. But he's also not a victim. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, it was a really
I think
good book.
I'd have to be in a certain frame of mind to read this. Yeah. Or a certain, like, place in my life to read this
you
book.
You know how when you started that movie, he had no idea what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of this book. I didn't know anything about it. And so it was like that. Cause I was like, what else? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh good. Something. Oh, yeah. Like it just, the highs and lows, were pretty, you know, frequent. But anyway, if you like a story of a person's life from start to finish with the ups and downs that happen in life, you know, Stoner is the one.
Well, I do like that. But I, now that I know that about it, I'll have to be.
I mean, it might be worth it just to read up to the part where Edith destroys the faces of her dolls.
Edith, something right Edith, about her.
Oh, man. She is just not right.
She is not. All right. Well, I had been in this, like, audio mode, and it was, like, all I could read. So I listened to a book called Listen for the Lie. And I really like books that have a podcast element in it. As I'm on a podcast. So Listen for the Lie is by Amy Tintira. And it was really good. I really did enjoy this one. It is about Lucy and her best friend, Savvy. I think it's short for Savannah, but she went by Savvy. Anyway, Lucy was accused of killing Savvy. Savvy was murdered.
Okay.
And all signs pointed to Lucy doing it. And Lucy actually did not know if she did it or not. She could not remember. It all happened one night. It was one of their friends got married and all these. Anyway, Lucy lost her memory. Mm-hmm. And she may have done it. She may not have done it. She has no recollection. She had Savvy's blood on her. Some people saw her leaving the scene of the crime. Anyway, but the police could not pinpoint it on her. They had, so anyway, long story short, she leaves the town. It's a small Texas town. She just really couldn't continue to live there. So she leaves it and she moves to LA. And she continues her life there with this trauma that maybe she killed her best friend, but she doesn't know. Years later, this podcast comes out. The podcast is called Listen for the Lie, the title of the book. Mm-hmm. And this very convincing podcast, I don't know what you call it, narrator, his name is Ben Owens. He is known for investigating unsolved murders. And he's not saying that Lucy did it, but he's just trying to find out. So he goes back to her Texas town, and Lucy swore she would never go back, but all her family lives there, and she is very close to her grandmother, and is her grandmother's, like, I don't know, a special birthday for her grandmother. I don't know. I can't remember what year it was. And her grandmother just begged Lucy to come back for her birthday party. And Lucy was like, you know, I don't ever want to come back to that town. And her grandmother begged her and begged her, so she did. Apparently, it was all a setup. Her grandmother set her up to come back because she wants Lucy to find out once and for all, did she do it? So she sets her up to talk to this Ben Owens. But the thing I haven't told you is that all of Lucy's life since this murder is that she keeps hearing this voice in her head, and it's so sinister, and it says, let's kill.
What?
Yes. So ever since the murder, she's always hearing this voice saying, let's kill. And so, yes. And so on the audiobook, it's so creepy.
Yeah.
So she's all the time in her life, she'll come across someone and just randomly imagine the voice will come on in her brain. She hears it. And she'll imagine how to kill that person with something in the room. Like, I'm looking at you, Tracy, and I'll hear that voice and I'll think.
Are you going to beat me with this microphone?
Yes, that's exactly actually what I was thinking.
I don't recommend it.
I would.
There's little ridges in it.
Uh-huh.
And somehow there's going to be some DNA.
That's true. But if I was Lucy, I would think, well, I could pick up that microphone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that DNA would get
strangle
stuck on it.
Strangle me with the cord.
Or I could get that cord and get behind her and strangle her. So
For much of her life, she would just randomly think about...
Oh, before the murder? After
the murder. So, but it's been like 10 or 15 years since the murder. So mm-hmm. for a good chunk of her life, she's been thinking about randomly how to kill people. Hmm. So she thinks that maybe she did kill her.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know, and she doesn't want to know. So that's the book.
So she obviously, there's not enough evidence for her to have been arrested for
this.
No,
she was not. No. So
was anyone?
No one has been arrested.
Got it.
But there's all these people who are at the wedding, and things become uncovered in the book when Ben Owens comes to town. And we do eventually find out who killed Savvy.
Hmm. Okay.
There you go. It was a good book. It was really
good. That sounds like a good audio.
It was. It was very well done.
Plus, like, the creepy voice. Yeah. You know.
It really, that creepy voice just, like, all the time, let's kill. And it was also cool the various ways that, in her mind, she would think of killing people. Because they were very, very imaginative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, that does sound.
So if you're going for a thriller, listen for the lie.
Listen Good for the one. And obviously a book called Listen for the Lie needs to be listened to.
Yes,
and
it does, because there's a lot of people in it. You have to, and you get to hear all these versions of what happened, and mm-hmm. There's only one true version.
Right.
So
interesting.
Yeah,
that does sound like a good thriller.
Yeah. So
was it on Hoopla?
It was on Hoopla.
Okay.
Yes.
I just like to know where the things are.
Yes.
You know,
Hoopla. Yeah.
The last book that I want to talk about is, I think I saw this on another Instagram. This author, Megan Mayhew Bergman, she is a short story writer, and she's written, her collections are Almost Famous Women, Birds of a Lesser Paradise, and her latest collection is called How Strange a Season. And I saw her comment on someone was reading this, like, on, sometimes I look at threads. Threads is it's not quite.
I don't look at it too often, but it's there.
I fall for it because they give you the little previews on Instagram.
I know. I hate that.
Yeah.
And then I'll click on it. I think it's Instagram. And I'm like, oh, no, it's a thread.
And then I start looking at threads for a while. And then I'm like, oh, I guess,
I don't really like to go on threads, but. That's how I fall for the threads.
Yes. Yeah. Well, anyway, Megan Mayhew Bergman commented on someone's thing about this book. And she said, oh my gosh, I always teach this book. She's a writing teacher as well at Bennington College. So I was like, well, if she teaches this book, I need to know what this book is. I don't know. That's just how it worked. So, we got it, and it's absolutely my favorite kind of memoir. Is I did recently meet someone who only pronounced it memoir.
I don't like that.
At first I was like, memoir. What? And then I thought it was really cute as the memoir kept coming out. Anyway, this is my favorite kind of memoir. It's a regular person just talking about their life. It's not like, and then I won the lottery and I am the queen or whatever. It's just like a person talking about her life. And, did I even say what it's called? Mm-mm. It's called The Boys of My Youth by Joanne Beard, and who I had never heard of this book, never heard of her. And sometimes when you read, you know how it takes sometimes like 50 pages to kind of get into it?
Yes.
This is one of those, like, page one, I'm in.
Really?
Yep, totally committed. When it doesn't happen all the time. That's what I want to happen. But
it rarely happens.
It rarely happens.
Are you going to read us part of
it? I am.
Okay.
I am. This is from an essay called Bonanza. And so this is where I want to know more.
Okay.
My grandmother married a guy named Ralph about a year and a half after Pokey, my real grandfather, died of a stroke in the upstairs bedroom of Uncle Rex's house. You know what? Like, I'm already in. But then, at Grandma and Ralph's wedding ceremony, a man sang opera style, which took the children by surprise and caused an uproar among the grandchildren, who were barely able to sit still as it was. And just, like, the image of, like, a bunch of squirmy children, and then a man starts singing an opera and just unable to keep it together. I went to karaoke one time, and there was this guy there who sang I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, but he sang it opera style, and we all just wanted to crawl under the table. It was just it was so embarrassing. Okay, so the rest of this essay is about how she would go visit Grandma and Ralph, even though there was absolutely nothing to do at their house. It's just, you know what? It's about a person that does things. So it's just the details of it. So, okay, I'm going to read another little bit. They ate terrible food, things mixed together that weren't supposed to be. Mashed potatoes with corn, pieces of white bread with gravy poured on top, peas and carrots in the same bowl. Ralph would have a dish towel tucked into his collar and hold a fork and spoon in his enormous paws. He'd get something on the spoon, a great gob of potatoes, say, and then open his mouth as wide as it would go, like a bird in a nest getting fed a chewed worm. He had deep creases on either side of his mouth, and as he chewed, gravy would run down the gullies in rivulets, land on the dish towel, and stay there. It was an amazing and horrifying thing to watch. Give me all, describe it.
I know you love those details.
Yes. The rivulets of gravy falling down this man into his bib napkin thing. I cannot. I love this book too much. It's from that point I was like, I can't believe, where has this book been all my life? What have I been doing with my time?
I saw you reading this book yesterday.
You did?
I think so.
You didn't, because I pulled it off the shelf this morning.
Okay, never mind.
What was I reading?
I saw you reading a book yesterday.
I was. I think this episode will air in April, won't it? The Mississippi Center for the Book is celebrating National Poetry Month with Dial a Poem.
Yes, I did see that.
And all you right. can call, and if this is not going to be anything after April 30th, but if you call 601-432-4001, you will, every weekday, hear a new poem. So I was reading, looking for today's poem. That's what you saw me reading yesterday. And it was a Natasha Trethewey collection called Domestic Work.
Okay.
So today's poem is called Gathering. And anyway, no one can hear me read it, because we're recording this episode today, and it'll be a few weeks before you hear the episode. So anyway, it just talks about her life. You know what I mean? With lots of detail about everything, and her friendships and relationships and her family. And I just love it. It's a perfect book. She doesn't have to do anything else. She wrote one perfect book. She can just go home.
But has she written anything
else? She has written other things, and I didn't realize we have one of them. And apparently there are some short stories, but also a couple of essays in whatever this other collection is that I plucked off the shelf today. Let's see if it's on the back of this. It came out after this, but I thought maybe this was a new...
I don't think I like that book.
You know what? I can tell by your face.
I know. You don't. I don't like that.
I think the rivulets of gravy did not thrill you.
I just, you know, they thrilled me. I remember Zori.
Yes.
Like, I liked Zori.
See, Zori and Stoner are kind of in the same land.
But
you know,
yeah, like, I like that slice of life. But that slice of life that you just read does not jive with me.
You know what? It's that she finds everything worthy of delight. Like, she's grossed out but also fascinated by Ralph.
I can understand that, but I guess I don't want to read it.
Right.
I like to experience it, but I don't want to read about it.
Right. That makes sense.
That makes
sense. What else do you have?
Okay, so my last one is something that you might have already heard about, but our listeners have not.
Hmm.
It is an experience I've never had before, but I listened to a book that I hated.
Oh. And it takes a lot to continue to listen.
Well, and the reason I continued is because I started listening to this book because I thought, well, because it was another thing that was popular on that
platform.
That, oh, yeah. Yes.
And anyway, so I started listening to The Teacher by Freda McFadden.
It's very popular.
And it is on Hoopla.
Do you know how many downloads The Teacher got in Mississippi in March?
Tell me.
376.
Okay. It should get like 3. But I do not read this author, but I understand that she's very popular.
Mm-hmm. So this now, is this the person that is like a copycat?
Yes, okay. She is a copycat. All right. And let me just preface all of this. This is all my opinion, just me, mm-hmm. not MLC's opinion.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, yes, she wrote another book that was a direct copy of a Colleen, what's that?
Hoover.
Colleen Hoover book. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, almost like the same plot. It was like, I'm not a Colleen Hoover fan even, but anyway, so the only reason I thought I would listen to this book was because I had heard about it on that
sometimes,
platform that
you know what
they talk about.
Something's really,
on.
Really.
So, yeah.
So, oh, you saw it on the,
yes,
on regular Instagram.
Yes, regular Instagram.
Where they talk about books sometimes.
Where they talk about
it doesn't have a name.
I don't like to call it that word.
Yeah.
So I downloaded it. Then a friend of mine who I swap audio messages with on a daily basis, we happened to download it on the same day. And we found out that we downloaded it on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we started talking about it as we were listening to it. So then we started talking about it several times a day. And we were on like pretty much the same pace, mm-hmm. you know. So then it turned into a hate read.
A buddy hate read. Yeah.
So I've never done that before. So the only reason I continued to listen to this book was because I got to share with my friend how much I hated it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So when I would get to certain parts, I would be like, oh my God, can you believe that blah, 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 blah. So the general story is there is this woman named Eve and her husband Nate, and they are both teachers at a high school. And Nate has an affair with one of the students. Her name's Addie. And all of the antics that happen after that.
Wait, is that a high school?
Yes, high school.
So it's not an affair, really.
Okay, I guess you're not. It's not an affair. Yeah,
gross.
You're right. Yeah, that would be.
I think it's officially it's a crime.
Yes, it is a crime. It is not. Yeah, that is not an affair. Thank you. It is horrible. It is a horrible book. And it has so many inconsistencies, and it is so badly written. And it just, I hated it. But I enjoyed hating it,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoyed sharing how
Maybe those 376 people also were like, can you believe this? This book is awful.
I don't think so. Because on my Instagram, I have several friends that are, their Instagram is like solely about their books
mm-hmm.
that they read. And I made a post about, or a story about this book. And I think I said something like, how my feelings were going to be coming, or like I was very vague about my feelings, but that I didn't want to say I hated it just yet. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, so a friend of mine that I highly value her reading taste sent me a message, and she was like, oh, I know, isn't it great? And I was like, oh Lord, I kind of lost some respect for her.
The thing is, like, when someone really loves a book that is emotional or about, I don't know, like, if you really hated Zori, it would mm-hmm. hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But a thriller is different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, because it's like...
It's like
trash.
Watching. Yeah.
How can you get upset about someone not liking trash?
But it's more like a like a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Oh, number four is my favorite. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, there's some predictable elements that are exciting and they are fun for the reader and they are, but I don't think that you would lose a friendship.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. So I did respond to her in a very nice way. I was like, I can see where some people would like this book, actually, you know. But I was like, I can see. I said, I actually hated it. She did not respond to
me. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
She made a voodoo doll out of you.
I think so. And we have since
What if your person is secretly Freda McFadden?
I don't know. I'm glad because I want her to know how much I hate this book. So we've had limited interaction since then. Because most of the time we have, like, you know, we comment on each other's mm-hmm. stuff. No. Since then, no.
No She's comments. She's put you in the bad club.
Probably. She may not even follow me anymore.
Oh, my. Over Freda McFadden.
Maybe. Anyway, I hate it. I don't understand why people like it. I think it's trash. But you know what? People like to read trash, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So... I know. I don't throw around
but you
the
know what,
word
then again,
trash much.
A book like that, you're not reading it for the beautiful language
no,
or whatever.
You're not.
It's a plot
reading
book.
A sentence and looking out the window.
No. There are no windows to look out of. It's not about that. It's about the plot. It's about what's happening.
It's
and the twist.
It's the dumbest plot. And there are so many. Okay, I like a thriller with a mm-hmm. twist. You know, I do. This is a book that is written... it has so many twists. It's like, oh, here's a twist, and here's a twist, and here's a twist, and here's a twist. It's like, okay, this is just, at this point, it's bad writing.
Mm. So you can't, like, actually trust anything because
no.
it's going to be a
dumb.
Twist. Yeah.
Yeah. Dumb. So, yeah, that's what I had been reading. So now, I'm just going to say this. Now I am in a place where I'm only reading nonfiction. Like, because I'm just pretty much done with fiction for now.
Did Freda do this to
you? I think a little bit. I think she had something to do with it.
Oh,
I'm just, like, done with fiction. And listen, I am not, I've always liked nonfiction a little, but, like, I can't even read fiction anymore now. I'm just, like, I don't even know. So that's where I am now.
She pushed you too far.
A little bit. She pushed me over the edge a little bit with the trash.
See, that would be a pretty good plot. You know, the librarian and book reviewer have to take a break or is done with fiction forever because of a book that is so horrible, it ruins her.
That would be good.
That'd be pretty good.
I know, it would be good. So, yeah, that's what I have.
Well, it was nice chatting with you
it was good.
Even though I didn't think I read anything, I did. And
yeah, same here.
All right, well, we'll do this again in a few months.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stats and Stories, the podcast of the Mississippi Library Commission. We hope you will tune in next time, and we encourage you to visit your local public library often.